1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Supreme Court appears inclined to limit the use of the Voting Rights Act to force states to draw electoral districts favorable to minority voters. Legal analyst Jessica Levinson on today's arguments over Louisiana's voting map.
We're looking at a really big question about how we draw district lines throughout the country, not just in Louisiana, and what we can consider when we do so.
The government shutdown will delay the announcement of the annual Social Security cost of living adjustment for tens of millions of Americans. CBS's Nicole Killian reports there is a Senate vote on the shutdown today.
Both sides continuing to hold firm, which is why the outcome, unfortunately, is unlikely to change.
Humanitarian aid resumed to Gaza today with 400 trucks entering from Egypt. Israel, meanwhile, says one of the four bodies handed over by Hamas yesterday was not that of any hostages held in Gaza. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The high school football playoffs will be different this year across Wisconsin. Jimmy Cuska reports.
October is the start of high school football playoffs, and this season, for the first time, teams will qualify using a new system. The new system, which was supported by nearly 90% of coaches before implementation, essentially rewards teams that win, and especially by defeating good teams. In addition to figuring out who makes the playoffs, the new system also seeds each team and assigns them geographically between four regions, a process that used to be done in the past by humans with the aid of computer formulas. Teams also know which division they are playing in at the start of the season. In the past, the divisions were set by dividing the qualifying teams equally between divisions the day after the regular season ended. The 8-player playoff bracket was announced last Saturday, with the 11-player playoff bracket to be announced this Saturday. You can see the playoff qualifying report for football and details on the new playoff qualification system on the WIAA website.
Portage County is hosting a virtual public information meeting later this month to share updates from its countywide traffic safety study. The virtual meeting will take place on Tuesday, October 28th from 6 to 7 p.m., Portage County Planning and Zoning Planner Kristen Johnson said, quote, "This study is about listening to the community and using that feedback to guide our approach to roadway safety. By combining data from our demonstration projects with input from residents, we can build a safety action plan that reflects the needs of Portage County," end quote. The meeting will share data collected from roadway safety demonstration projects installed in the county from April through October. Community members will have the opportunity to provide feedback during the meeting. You can register by visiting the county website at co.portage.wy.gov. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News. You can find more news anytime and sign up for our newsletter at WFHR.com.
The Dodgers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Dodgers winning Game 2 of the National League Championship Series 5-1 over the Brewers. L.A. now up 2-0 in the best-of-7 series. So what's the solution? The Brewers' Christian Yelich.
Yeah, I mean, we just got to play better. It's not an ideal start to the series by any means. Like, it's not what you want to get off to, but just got to continue to battle and find a way to get the offense going. You know, I got to be better. We got to be better. Just facts, you know? So fly out tonight, take the off day tomorrow, and be ready to battle Game 3.
Game 3 tomorrow night in L.A. at 5:08. NFL, the Packers trying to figure out why they've given up 60 points in the fourth quarter in just the first 5 games of the season.
We're just like, why is that happening? Are we running out of gas? They got the ball to start the second half. They go on that 18-play drive or whatever it was. I mean, ate up 10 minutes off the clock. I don't know. Does that gas you out?
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds out there for your Wednesday afternoon. A light east breeze and highs in the mid-50s. Overnight, scattered clouds in the lower 40s. On Thursday, clouds thicken back up. We'll have gusty winds and some showers developing. Highs in the upper 50s. Right now, it's 51.
Vanity Fair calls BritBox a delicious streamer. Collider says everyone should be watching. Catch Britain's next best series with BritBox. Stream acclaimed new originals like Code of Silence.
You read lips, right?
And Linley, based on the best-selling mystery series.
D.I. Linley, take it from here.
And don't miss the new season of Karen Piri, coming this October.
You don't look lip, please.
I'll take that as a compliment.
See it differently when you stream the best of British TV with BritBox. Watch with a free trial today.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time on location for the Majestic Theater in Waukesha, Wisconsin for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life. Filmmakers, former Packers, all on the show.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. This is the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Jeff Smith sitting in. Thank you so much for being here. Let you live in interesting times, or may you live in interesting times. And as we fight at this moment for the question of whether, to the extent we have had a democracy, the shreds of it will continue. What should that democracy look like? How do we get there? And what's happening out there that might be worth fighting for, in addition to what's worth fighting against? On the air, we have Lynn Davis. He's the program director of Healthy Democracy. He'll explain more about what that is. A way I will put it is, what might we do at the local level, including, to fight for democracy itself? Lynn, thank you for joining us. And why do you introduce Thank You Democracy in your own words?
Yeah, hey, thanks so much for having us. So we do something called a civic assembly, and this is sort of a different kind of democracy that takes everyday people selected at random from the public and puts them in positions of genuine power deep into policymaking. Sometimes this happens at the local level, sometimes at the state level, sometimes at the national level, not here in the U.S. yet, but overseas. It's been around for, in this sort of current form, these civic assemblies have, this sort of idea has been around for about 50 years and started in the U.S., among other places. But it goes back to very old ideas of more deliberative, sort of collaborative forms of decision making around the world. And the lottery, that sort of lottery process, you may recognize it from our jury system, which was inspired by processes in ancient Greece. There's also versions of it in ancient India, et cetera. And it's a way for everyday people from all walks of life to be involved deep within ownership of public policy, not just giving feedback, not one directional, not even just two directional, but deep within the making of how we govern ourselves.
Democracy, and not just with politicians.
Not just with politicians. No, often these are used for the first time as advisory bodies to city councils or legislatures, but they can act independently as well. They can serve as a substitute for existing boards or commissions or other things that we already have that we may want more representation in, or a different kind of style of deliberative decision making in. But they can act independently or as sort of very integrated within the electoral system.
So a question on my mind. So I think, by the way, and I could answer the question that I'm about to pose. And if you want to flip it back to me, it's not a challenge to you. It is not intended as a challenge to you, but it is fair. And it's fair also in the context of discussions we've been having just over the last 15, 20 minutes, which is when the risk of talking about big picture stuff when the house is on fire, when we're having discussions about what should democracy look like, or how should we raise a new generation of activists, and a very fair response comes, what are you talking about? We don't have time for this.
Right now, there is a question, like, who right now is betting that there will, in fact, be fair elections in the next midterm, typically called midterm elections, coming up in a year? So I'll put a question, related question to you. Why does this, why does the idea of civic assemblies matter now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important when we are looking at our democracy to think about the short term and the long term both at the same time. It's so hard to do, but we have put a lot of money and a lot of time into things like, into election reforms in particular, ranked choice voting, most famously campaign finance reform, sort of a little before that. Those movements are very strong and have a lot of money behind them. And in addition to other things, you know, journalism, obviously.
Not enough. Keep going.
Well, you know, relatively speaking to some of these other reforms. And I think that, you know, that that's not enough. We're playing around the edges to some extent. It's not that they're bad. We support them often, not officially, but as individuals. But we think that there's room for thinking about something that's different, thinking that's beyond maybe the current way that we think about our system, which is built on an architecture of debate, incidentally. And all those things are still built on that architecture. This is built on an architecture, ideally, of collaboration, a different way of thinking about this. We often like to point out that this is not a reform that is propagated by or necessarily beneficial to the left or the right or the center, for that matter. It is hopefully beneficial to the public and our ability to have ownership over the decisions that affect our lives. And we need to think a little bit deeper about what maybe the concerns that we have right now across the political spectrum, incidentally, about the way our government works. And that I think a lot of those have to do with our feeling that we're not in this, that it's somebody else. It's something in the sky that's doing things to us or for us or at us, positive or negative. But it's not us. We're not using government as a tool. And a lot of the reforms that to me feel fairly superficial are not changing that relationship at all.
Yeah. So I remember a conversation I had with, in Trump's first term, with a guy who used to serve on my board, a guy I really respect and care about. And I was more than alarmed, and am more than alarmed, by Trump and view the current movement. And then my concern was, and I still believe that, that he as a person received too much attention relative to what his movement was doing. And that the movement that begat him and that he is now begetting posed an existential threat to the most important values in America, and too many of the most important values in America. And I made this case, and he came back to me saying, "Nah, you find it's going to be more like Warren Harding, where this guy's just going to be a corrupt guy, and then he's going to be out, and then it'll be, and then we'll always remember just this time, like Teapot Dome, and we'll just move along." Now, of course, in the second term, that conversation seems quaint. And there is this time where we feel like we're at the fundament. Some are at the barricades and some are worried that there aren't enough barricades. And I've been wondering, and I think a lot about the next generation. That's first thought. Second thought. So first thought, big problems brewing. Big problems happening and getting worse. Second, I think about the next generation. I think about that I don't see successful social movements that do not include healthy doses of young people. And we need lots of them. And fortunately, there are some, and we need more. And I think about the conversations I have with young people, including on this program and obviously beyond.
1 minute.
And they are, and some of that is, well, what are we fighting for? Are we only fighting against oppression, tyranny? We're only fighting against Donald Trump, MAGA? We're only fighting against ICE or gutting of health care? Or is there something we're fighting for? And I like the idea of fighting for democracy. I think that is as good as we can do, rhetorically and morally. And I think part of the challenge, here's my answer to my question, we'll have a break and we'll keep you on. Thank you for joining us. That if we only say the word democracy, and what we mean by that is the current government or the recent government, or roughly speaking, how we've been doing things for the last while, it lands a little shallow. It lands a little unsatisfying. It doesn't feel like a cure to oligarchy. It doesn't feel like democracy. So the reason I appreciate you coming on the show today is to actually talk about what might democracy look like. And for those who think, well, how is that related to the current fight? I would say, I think that fight is about democracy. And we ought to have that fight about something more than, including, yes, but something more than elect Democrats to Congress. Including, yes, but something more than electing Democrats to Congress. We will be back talking about healthy democracy with Lynn Davis right after this.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
What does a healthy democracy look like? What might it look like? What is worth fighting for? We'll be right back.
If you snore and your partner hasn't moved to another room yet, congratulations. You've either found true love or your partner has no other place to go. Hey, let's talk about what your partner really wants in bed. Silence. If you want to actually impress them in bed, stop keeping them awake from your snoring and give them 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep. Zepa is the only FDA-approved and patented anti-snoring solution invented by a leading sleep doctor that stops snoring at the source. Zepa has a 91% success rate backed by a 91-night sleep guarantee. For a limited time, go to Zepa.com and use the code TOM, T-H-O-M, or text TOM to 511-511 and get the absolute best solution guaranteed to stop your snoring with the Happy Z-Pack and save over 24% off. Plus, Zepa will donate $10 to breast cancer research. Visit ZYPPAH.com, use the code TOM, or text TOM to 511-511 and save over 24% with the Happy Z-Pack and start improving your sleep health today. Remember, Zepa is Happy Z spelled backwards. Text fees may apply.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
It's that time of year where things go bump in the night. Ghosts and ghouls and goblins are spotted roaming the foggy late-night landscape, preparing for Halloween. Coming soon, there will be tricks and treats, costumes and fun. But remember, there's only one thing more scary and disturbing than vampires, witches, or even clowns. The most frightening thing of all, an old, rickety, dark and dirty porta-potty. Don't let the thought of a porta-potty frighten you. Crockett Septic has a huge inventory of porta potties available for events, parties, and promotions, and they're always clean and comfortable. Stay away from those nasty porta coffins and call Crockett Septic for a porta potty experience that won't scare the well, you know, out of you. From Rome to Rudolph in Junction City, Grand Rapids, and Nakusa, all the way to Point and Plover, Crockett Septic can handle your porta potty needs, holding tanks, and septic pumping too. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
This one goes out to the elder millennials. We're not as flashy as those other millennials and not as grungy as Gen X, but our music deserves another listen. Burn Before Listening features hits. No, we can't read them, oh, good face. deep cuts, and some authentic cringe. This is how you from 2000 to 2009, Burn Before Listening on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, Sundays at 9 p.m.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com.
I knew we all have two ages, our actual age and our body's internal biological age. What I didn't know is we can lower our biological age without even knowing it. Here's the thing. Americans eat so many processed foods and not enough fruits and vegetables. Many, perhaps most, are 10 years older on the inside than their actual age. Like ticking time bombs. A major university study suggests how to slow aging and defuse that biological time bomb. Participants slowed their aging by drinking Field of Greens. That's all. They didn't change their eating, their drinking, or their exercise. Just Field of Greens. Each fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was doctor-selected for specific health benefits. Cell health, heart, lungs, kidneys, metabolism, even healthy weight. We feel great knowing Field of Greens can slow how quickly we're aging. And I encourage you to join us. Swap your untested fruit, vegetable, and green drink for Field of Greens while there is still time. Check out the university study. Get 20% off when you use promo code Tom at fieldofgreens.com. That's fieldofgreens.com, promo code Tom. Hello there. We are back with Lynn Davis from Healthy Democracy, talking about civic juries, talking about what real democracy might look like in a battle over authoritarianism. What we just heard Lynn say, Lynn who just turned 40, he talks to young people who say, do I really believe in democracy? Do I think it's a thing? And if that is the baseline, if that is the foundation of where the current argument is happening, no wonder. There feels like too much energy on the anti-democracy side, on the pro-authoritarianism side, on the pro-oligarchy side, and not enough on the pro-democracy side, because we haven't been doing that work. Say more about that, Lynn, or change the subject.
Yeah, I mean, we see a decline in faith in the idea of democracy across the board. There's this great study. I mean, this is not recent. This is since at least in the last 20, 25 years, there's been a pretty steep decline. And I think we got over 50% of folks who said that they were dissatisfied with democracy as an idea. That was like 5 years ago. So yeah. We're deep into the world of being underwater in terms of our belief in democracy. And it's not just young people. It's just most acute among young people.
So your idea, and not just your idea, but people can look at the TED Talk on sortition. You can, heck, follow Aristotle, right? This stuff goes back. Where are exemplars that you like to hold out? What's a micro case study, quick story that helps illustrate why this works and how it works?
Yeah, I'll take a really small scale example and then maybe another big example. We just did a project in Fort Collins, Colorado, sponsored by the city government there, although also funded by other folks and a partnership of nonprofits around a piece of property that used to be the Colorado State Football Stadium, now a vacant piece of land, 150, 160 acres. And it brought together a representative group of the public, a city in one room. It also had other kind of inputs, a group of stakeholders and a sort of a community ambassador program that brought in other information and traditional engagement like surveys and that kind of thing. And the assembly got together and gave a recommendation after extensive deliberation, upwards of 35 plus hours together, on what the city should do with this piece of property, hearing from a number of the different proposals from different interest groups about what should be done with this land. And they presented this proposal to city council. And city council has actually just put it on the ballot for the first time that we know of in the U.S. There's a civic assembly's recommendations that are going to be going directly to voters. There's another initiative, incidentally, as well, from an advocacy group that came through a traditional signature gathering process. So both of those are on the ballot. Great. More democracy. Put it all out there. But it was a really exciting project, and I hope that I think that in the reporting about these ballot measures, the local media actually is doing a great job of making it clear that this went through this really unique process to get there, which is cool. So there's things like that on a small scale happening across the U.S., but there's also big things happening abroad. Paris, for example, has a sort of parallel city council as of the last few years, where they select by democratic lottery a group of folks. About a third of those folks kind of turn over every 6 months or so, and they set agendas for themselves in terms of what's most important that the city council may not be working on. And they write bills that in that case go to city council, and then they kind of work with the elected council in order to figure out how those should advance. They also set a participatory budgeting process that would be agenda for that and make other rules around participation. There's a couple other systems like that are permanent. There's one in Poland where you can get an initiative get an assembly to happen just via signature gathering. So kind of instead of putting something directly on the ballot through an initiative, you can get an assembly to happen. The government has to pay for it. And then if that assembly gets to 80% agreement, and incidentally, that's always a requirement of these processes, supermajority, not majority, we're done with majority. It's always 75-80%.
Yep.
Yeah, closer to consensus, but not forcing consensus. That's also important, because there's some weird power
you can hold out. Yep. So just before we wrap, my quick summary, I think it has these elements, you can correct me, and then I want to you to say where people can find out more, what they can do. So it's a representative group, lottery selected, take a real problem with real information and real deliberation, and then make a real decision in a supermajority way. There's something that's closer to consensus. Lynn Davis from Healthy Democracy, where can people find out more, or what should they be doing?
Yeah, so there's a small network of advocates in hubs across the United States, and just get in touch with us. We can put you in touch with folks that are talking to their local council members, or legislators, or having to organize small things in places probably near you. HealthyDemocracy.org is our website, or info@HealthyDemocracy.org, and we'd love to put you in touch with the many, many activists that are out there that are trying to sort of get at this sort of root cause, change the game kind of structural stuff.
Lynn Davis, thank you so much.
Listening to the Tom Hartman program. Call 202-808-9925.
We are listening to Tom Hartman program and watching it. Thank you to Lynn Davis from Healthy Democracy. What are we fighting for? Well, maybe that's something. We'll be right back.
With us today is co-founder of Native Path Collagen, Dr. Chad Walding. So glad to have you with us. Tell us about your company.
Well, Native Path, we're a company that is really all about aligning human health with the way it's designed to eat, move, and live. You know, we look at the past 100 years and we see a consistent rise in disease, specifically metabolic disease. That rise has been happening despite all our advances in technology and medicine. We really recognize and appreciate the timeless principles that are really appropriate for humans and human health. And what we do as a company is we educate people on nutrition and movement and lifestyle, and we help provide supplements to help fill in the gaps of the vitamins, the nutrients, and minerals that are missing in the modern diet.
And you do this with Native Path Collagen. What exactly is collagen?
Collagen is our hero product. That's the first product we came out with. And collagen is the most abundant protein in the body, right? It's what makes up the structure of your body, your tendons, your ligaments, the things that you look at, like your hair, your skin, your nails. It even makes up your bones and your gut lining. So it's extremely important to have collagen. And it's something that our ancestors would get plenty of with the way they ate, because they would eat nose to tail. They would take the bones of an animal, they would put it in a big pot with hot water and make broth, and that's how they would get collagen. But we're not getting near enough in our modern diet, because we're so bombarded with carbohydrates and fat, and not near enough quality protein, certainly not enough collagen. And collagen is something we produce on our own, but around the age of 20, that starts to decline. Around 50, it really starts to decline. When we're deficient in collagen, it accelerates the aging process, the weakening of the structure of our body. So it becomes really important to start supplementing with it as we get older. Consuming quality protein, specifically in the form of collagen, is one of the easiest things you can do that makes the most difference in your health.
It's remarkable stuff. Dr. Chad Walding, thank you so much for dropping by today.
Awesome, Tom. Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Feel better, look younger, start your transformation today at getnativepath.com.
Pat Kreitlow. On Thursday, we'll get an update from Cindy Greening, who's helping organize the many No Kings rallies happening in dozens of Wisconsin hometowns on Saturday.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. As the climate shifts, so does the science behind growing cranberries. Staff at the Wisconsin Cranberry Research Station are working to ensure the future of the state's signature fruit by studying how cranberries can tolerate extreme temperatures and finding ways to extend the harvest season to reduce labor and equipment demands.
The inability to change in a changing environment is the textbook definition of extinction.
That's Grant Hawley, the executive director of the nonprofit Wisconsin Cranberry Growers Association. He said Wisconsin growers know what to do when change happens slowly.
When you're looking at fast changes, you need to know the whys. And that's where our researchers come into play.
They're able to look at changes happening at a molecular level and see how the cranberries are being affected and also the symbiotic relationship that plants have with other organisms in the ground.
They're seeing how that bacteria inside of the soil is helping with nitrogen uptake. They're making sure that the fungus in the ground is helping us with water uptake.
Gabby Myers is the Research and Education Manager for the Wisconsin Cranberry Research and Education Foundation. She coordinates efforts from researchers across the state.
They're trying to create better cranberries, so maybe they're sweeter, firmer. So all different sorts of traits that they're trying to breed for, we provide a space for them to have those plots established.
Hybrid cranberry varieties are helping farmers diversify their marshes, producing more fruit on less land, and spreading out the harvest season.
They're trying to be able to make it to where harvest doesn't all happen in the same 2 weeks, because that's where you need extra equipment, you need extra people. It's just a terrible time if you have to do that.
Harvest season now starts as early as September and can run through October or later, depending on the year.
Now a singular family can actually start handling a medium to small size farm.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds out there for your Wednesday afternoon. A light east breeze and highs in the mid-50s. Overnight, scattered clouds in the lower 40s. On Thursday, clouds thicken back up. We'll have gusty winds and some showers developing. Highs in the upper 50s. It's 53 at our studios.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by UW political science professor Barry Burton and Professor Charles Franklin, the pollster from MU Law School. We discuss the shifts in Trump's approval ratings and the divide within Dems. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
So much for all of your support. Hello. Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio and tag your it. We're back. Thank you for being back. Let's go straight to Beth. Go straight to your call. See if we can clear the board so all your brilliance can be shared. Beth from Chicago, Illinois. You're on the air.
Hey, Jeff. I am here. I'm having the blues because I'm in Chicago. Plus, I've been waiting an hour and a half. So I just, because I love you. So I'm here. Listen, I want to tell you, this is like a... it's an urgent message to all blue cities, and maybe people have read this, but I just you're the guy who screens calls. He hadn't heard of it yet, and a lot of my other connections. I'm a grassroots activist, also former professor, and I have an opinion also on the strength of youth. But what I know right now is that in Rogers Park, which is a little north of where I am, I'm in a mostly Hispanic neighborhood. And so I look out for my neighbors, et cetera. Well, what happened was two guys in Rogers Park were sitting on their front porch. They're picked up on the 9th of October by ICE, and they're just being racial profiled. They're literally picked up, right, because they have brown skin. And so all our blue cities should be alerted to this, that they said to the ICE agent, said, where are your papers? And they said, we don't have papers with them. They're in our house and we're not at the house, or we don't have them. My parents are dead. And the bottom end, and this is how it ended up. They were scaring them and intimidating them. But the point was that one of them could prove it. They had a database in their cars, in the car that they were driving around these two guys in. And this can be seen in the Chicago Tribune and in MSN.com. So yeah, those are two news outlets that backed my story up, is that one guy was proven that he did indeed have a foreign, he was like a foreign national. So, was considered legal. But he doesn't have a lot of money, and so he got a $130 ticket. The other person was deported, and we don't know anything about it. But the National Immigrant Justice Center in Chicago told the outlet that it didn't. It really is part of a push on to ensure immigrants register with authorities because of Trump's administration and keep all their documents with them at all times. And this is purely, no other president has done this besides Trump right now.
Yeah.
So I just want to send this out because you have a big platform.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. And documenting abuses of power, hopefully not just for history, hopefully to help motivate people to do things, hopefully so that we can rebuild media. Like I am both more pessimistic and more optimistic than other people. What I mean by that is I am more pessimistic in the near term, and that I think that they have seized so many levers of power. They have toppled so many opponents that it's sometimes worse than we think. But I hesitate saying that because I don't want to quell anybody's hope, but I do overall kind of have faith in humanity, and I think justice can win over time. I think it's not only the arc of history is long, but it's very bumpy, but I do think it bends towards better things and towards justice. But Beth, thank you for that, and thanks for being part of the community.
Can I say something about, as a former professor at Columbia here in Chicago for film students? So when Trump had his first term, I don't even know if this was legal or not legal. I just said, I hope you all know what's in store if you don't study democracy and what can be taken away. And I told them about the National Endowment for the Arts. And I said, raise your hand if anybody knows what the NEA does and what democracy does for filmmakers and artists like us. If you want to be a filmmaker, then you're going to have to... I basically said, I was like, you're going to have to study democracy and literally vote for it, because that no one else is going to stand up your rights, because in some, most of us are all union. Yeah. And secondly, I mean, it is no one. And the thing is, they didn't get it at all. But I pushed it enough where I said, well, you know, if you can't convict yourself to make these convictions of free speech, when you want to make your documentary or your film, you're going to be in trouble. So if you, like, literally have a teacher that can compare it to what they're doing in their life and how it can affect them adversely, then I think it's a positive thing. And if we don't include them in our future, like our 18, you know, 16-year-olds and up, like you said, to 35, we're insane. No, we must keep them, because I literally believe that I mentor people now that I'm not teaching anymore, and they call me up. So I think that they're integral to the future.
Amen, Beth, and I agree. I agree strongly, and thank you for the call.
Can I say one more thing?
No, we got it. I got to go on.
Since I waited an hour and a half.
You've had 5 minutes and 45 seconds. You get 20 more.
Okay. No. The only thing is that I keep thinking creatively, like, okay, what would they do during the resistance in France or whatever? That why is there, or there probably is, some sort of law enforcement that is spying on the inside. This is not paranoia. This is actually a part of resistance of ICE. And I guarantee you that there are former military literally getting reconnaissance for war crimes.
Yeah. All right, I've got to go. I've got to go to the next caller, Beth, because we want to try to clear the board.
I hope you can expound on that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Be well. Tom from Boston, Massachusetts, you're on the air.
Hi, Jefferson. Thank you. Jefferson, earlier you asked a question of your guest about what the kids today should be doing or thinking, and came to mind two things I think about these days. One is radical theory back in the day. This turned out to be just radical theory by the elite owners. And, you know, like the Koch brothers putting foundations into the university structure and screwing this thing up and making it biased. So I saw Wecklow once on Monday. He was in Boston on a tour. And he basically said, seize the moment. He saw an opportunity, he lost. He did it again, and he won. They got a seat at the table. He talked about the triangle they formed between government, the owners, whether you'd be the communists, the Russians, the Soviets, and the union workers. They got a seat. They were at their first. So all I'm saying is we have an opportunity Saturday. It's got to be peaceful. It's got to be strong. And it's got to say no and put our foot down. But it's got to be big numbers, because the politicians don't want to see, you know, discourse in the street. And they respond to that. They responded in the 60s. Yeah. They'll respond again if we're in the streets. But we cannot allow this dictator, this white nationalist, he's set up. He wants civil war. It's like he's got Putin in his pocket. He's just looking at all. So I'm just saying, I hadn't even heard about Saturday anywhere. Well, I'm a very busy guy, but we got to be there. The other thing is equity. You know, you need, the owners got multi-level layers of hiding in the corporations. These owners need to be challenged. And we're the most unequal country we've ever been in the history of everything, past the Gilded Ages by great numbers. Yeah. We need to get them focused on the top, and they get their equity, they get their seat at the table so they can be happier, and we won't be so stressed out. And you know, put things in proportion, things show things like, you know, billboards. That's the other question. If I can just say, you know, when Air America came on, I saw those billboards and I was there in the beginning. They work. So, you know what? Somehow we got to get something together to get billboards. I forget what I was thinking we should say up there right now.
If you have a good billboard idea, send it to us. And thank you, Tom. Let me respond to those very quickly before we go to break. So, our two things in reverse order, equity. It's something to fight for. And I agree. I think that as people get rooted more in selfishness and try to protect just theirs, and we build a politics of just selfishness, that promotes an opportunity, gives us an opportunity to see the limits of selfishness as a policy idea. And that, and I'll just point you to the TED Talk on Richard Wilkinson's TED Talk and his book, The Spirit Level, which isn't about spirituality. It's literally about that when things fall out of equity, when the measurement of equity falls out, societies start to collapse. It's just a bad news for everybody. But the other is your point in the streets. Yeah, this is a time for people to do more and to be visible, and so that everybody in this country needs to know somebody who is active in resisting authoritarianism, who is not just coddling people who are taking a bow for having elected Trump and putting it in this circumstance. A significant majority of people are opposed to Trump, but he's still gathering enough levers of power to make it hard to oust his team. So yes, that means the streets. It's also, LinkedIn is too quiet, it's too professional. I do encourage people to post there. Facebook, heck yes, and also new media outlets, including communities like this. We've got to find more and more communities, more and more pockets, where we can bring people in of all ages, including young leaders, to bring them along and to build numbers. We have to build those numbers. And my one little tip, no King's protest this weekend, bring a friend, maybe even a young friend.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
My dad does a good job of this. He tries to recruit a couple young people to come with him each time, including to the No Kings protest this weekend. We'll be back.
If you're a homeowner in America, you need to listen to this. The FBI has been warning about a type of real estate fraud on the rise called title theft, and your equity is their target. Here's how it works. Criminals forge your signature on a single document, use a fake notary stamp, and file it with the county. And just like that, on record, they own your home. Using your ownership, they then take out loans against your equity or even sell your property, and you won't know about it until foreclosure or collection notices show up in your mail. That's why I've partnered with Home Title Lock so you can protect your equity and find out today if you're already a victim. Go to HomeTitleLock.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. You get a free title history report and a free trial of their $1 million triple lock protection. That's 24/7 monitoring of your title records, urgent alerts to any changes, and if fraud occurs, their U.S.-based restoration team will spend up to $1 million to fix it. Find out why I trust Home Title Lock. Protect yourself like Louise and I did. Go to HomeTitleLock.com/Tom. That's HomeTitleLock.com/THOM.
And welcome back to our true crime podcast. Our guest today is Sean Cleary.
Wait, what? We are supposed to be doing a commercial about Cleary's storage, egg, and sports facilities.
Great point, Sean. It was a warm summer evening in 1978 when a young man with a hammer...
Whoa, again, not a true crime podcast. I want to talk about Cleary designing the building of your dreams.
In a world where things aren't what they seem.
Okay, give me that. Good grief. Visit ClaryBuilding.com today and experience the Cleary difference.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Federal budget cuts mean bad news for Wisconsin's trout populations. That's because the budget slashes funding for the USGS Ecosystem Mission Area. It's the primary program that works to control invasive sea lampreys. The parasitic fish have caused billions of dollars in damage to Great Lakes fisheries, but that trend had been reversing in recent years thanks to work and research that is now being dismantled. Leaves are falling, and now's a great time to rake them up, put them in bags, and have them trucked off to the landfill.
Actually, that's not so great for the environment. Turns out fallen leaves are where pollinators like to spend the winter, and they can also help fertilize your lawn. UW Extension experts say most of the time, it's best just to leave the leaves where they fall. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us.
If you snore and your partner hasn't moved on to another room yet, congratulations. You've either found true love or your partner has no other place to go. Let's talk about what your partner really wants in bed. Silence. If you want to actually impress them in bed, stop keeping them awake from your snoring and give them 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep. Zipa is the only FDA-approved and patented anti-snoring solution invented by a leading sleep doctor that stops snoring at the source. Zipa has a 91% success rate, backed by a 91-night sleep guarantee. For a limited time, go to Zipa.com and use the code TOM or text THOM to 511-511 to get the absolute best solution guaranteed to stop your snoring with a happy Z-Pack and save over 24% off. Plus, Zipa will donate $10 to breast cancer research. Visit ZYPPAH.com and use code TOM or text TOM to 511-511 and save over 24% off with a happy Z-Pack and start improving your sleep health today. Remember, Zipa is happy Z spelled backwards. Text fees may apply. Back. We've got moments left. Let's see if we can give everybody who's been patiently waiting a chance. Tom from Media, Pennsylvania, who likes to call and promote Trump. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I'm a moderate. I'm more of a third-way Democrat, actually, but there's no such thing as a moderate. But I hear this mantra about Republicans slash conservatives being, you know, much less charitable and kind than Democrats slash liberals that are much more kind and generous. But, you know, all the studies show that in terms of charitable giving across all levels of income, Republicans slash conservatives give much significantly more, you know, per person.
So, Tom, first of all, send me the data. Second of all, send me the data if you peel out, if you peel away giving to church. And if you peel away giving to church, I'd like to see that data also. And send me the data, then we can talk about it. I don't think that a particular political designation has a monopoly on virtue. What I do think today, and what I have said today, is that I am deeply concerned. I assume you are deeply concerned at the tenor of the discussion, the kind of discussion among young Republicans. Yes, that's something that you don't promote.
Well, I think that I haven't seen the young Republicans.
So you should. Take a look. Look at Sue Stack.
I will. Take
a read at Sue Stack and look at what was passing as discourse in that community. And the thing I would say is,
how do I get a hold of you? How do I get a hold of you on your website? There, I know I have a website. I can respond because I responded a while ago to you. I never got a response back. But
yeah,
a
you can send it into the show.
Okay, right. The show doesn't have an address, so that's not going to work either. I can't get an address from the show.
Oh.
So I'll do it on. I can't get an address on the show. If you want me to give it to me, that's fine. But I can't get an address for the show.
Well, I think there's an email. I mean, I know people reach out to the show here, so that shouldn't be too hard, Tom. But I want to get to the next call. But yeah, the screen. I'll put you on hold, and the screener can help get you connected. Let's go to Calvin. Let's go to Carol. Carol from Seattle, you're on the air.
Hi. Hey. We have 72 million people that are unregistered, and so when I go to the march, I'm going to bring ways to get people registered.
There you go.
And that's the thing. We got to get more people to join. We can't be so picky. We're not marrying each other. We're just voting together. So big fan. time to put our little filthiness aside. We don't have a lot of choices. That type of thing.
Oh, I love it. And when you register voters, do you have a favorite first line?
Well, I mean, it depends on if I'm doing it for King County. You can't be, you have to be nonpartisan. But I think I'm going the other way. I basically talk about FDR and about why we're all here and how we made America great the second time, because when we found it, it was already great. Let's just acknowledge that.
It won't come across rocket science after I'm done with it, but I'm going to give you my best tip on voter registration. So we used to run voter registration drives, and we'd have young people come in who joined our political leadership program and would, and I'd sort of make a guess of who was going to be the best voter registrar. And I was wrong every time. And because I'd sort of think the person it would be was going to be the person who was maybe had some particular charismatic energy or seemed extroverted. And both times that I remember making those guesses, I didn't make them publicly, I just made them in my own head. I remember two people that were the best in their respective years, that they were the best, and they were both kind of introverted people. And I asked them what they did, and I looked into what they did better than other people. And the difference was they asked everybody. They just kept asking, and they didn't stop asking, and they didn't get bummed out. They just kept on going, and they kept on going, and they kept on going. And that has reached a point of ideology for me. The key to voter registration is just asking, asking, and asking, and asking, and asking. So, Carol, thank you for asking.
I think we both proved our points that we can't be as picky as we used to be.
There you go, Carol. Yeah. Thank you. Calvin, you got like 20 seconds.
The Supreme Court was voted in with only 50 votes. Can they bring the budget down without using the Democrats as an excuse and go to 50 votes?
You're saying can they get the budget done without
they did with the changing the goalposts for the Supreme Court?
Yeah, they could go to some extremes to change Senate rules, but then they'd be loath to do that because then it could be done to them. They still might, but they'd be somewhat loath. Calvin, I want to say thanks. I want to say thanks to everybody who's been listening. We got to everybody. Thank you to the staff who puts on this show. Thanks to all of you. And I do hear the urgency, and I feel the urgency. And also want to make sure we think about yes now and also tomorrow. I think there can be one. 202-808-9925. I will be with you tomorrow. You can call in then. And I appreciate you. The Coalition of Benevolently Irrational Good People doing good things for no good reason. And you are priceless. Definition of priceless: worth a lot, not for sale. Back with you tomorrow.
Been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.
What happens when you're the knock, the next of kin for a loved one who dies? It can be pretty overwhelming. You have to deal with the bank accounts, credit cards, utilities, cars, mortgages, all that stuff, all while grieving a loss. If something were to happen to you tomorrow, would your next of kin be prepared? Well, they would be if you had a Knockbox, the next of kin box. The Knockbox helps provide a paper trail for your digital life so your loved ones don't have to go on a wild goose chase. And if you have a household, you need a Knockbox. It's a complete system that helps you organize your possessions, your finances, your account passwords, your plans for your pets, for your kids, your estate, and more. Use the code TOM to save 18% off any kit exclusively available at knockbox.com. That's NOKBOX.com. NOKBOX.com. Go to knockbox.com and use that code TOM, T-H-O-M, to get organized and to save your 18%. Knockbox.com.
To everyone who believes in magic, let our team member Tappy tell you how we do it at Culver's.
We're talking about Midwest magic. Wow. This is the kind of magic that transforms real farm-fresh dairy into world-class Wisconsin cheese. Oh. It's about handcrafting every meal with love, because at Culver's, we want every bite to be turned into a smile. Order ahead in the app or online and come taste the magic for yourself.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Supreme Court appears inclined to limit the use of the Voting Rights Act to force states to draw electoral districts that favor minorities. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Denying Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act any further authority in the drawing of congressional districts could change the electoral outcome of nearly 20 congressional seats, but this decision of the court won't be out until the end of June.
After the U.S. struck another alleged drug boat, the president of Venezuela has ordered military exercises, and the New York Times is reporting the Trump administration has secretly authorized the CIA to conduct covert action in the country. Vicki Barker reports on new research that shows it's never too late to quit smoking.
The study out of Britain suggesting 10 years after a middle-aged smoker kicks the habit, their chances of developing dementia are no worse than those of lifelong non-smokers.
On Wall Street, stocks are slightly higher. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.